Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
That's here in the Townsville. That's here in the Cairns. And it is vile. And all of North Queensland. Roosters win in one of the all-time great NRL semi-finals.
Want to get the steam coming out of the bull's nostrils? Try telling me this.
Win, lose or draw, it doesn't matter.
Just lace them up and whack on a jersey.
It's about participation.
The result, who cares? Well, let me tell you, in my house, there's no ribbons for second best.
The legendary NFL coach Vince Lombardi said it best. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing.
And some are extra special. There's the ones that really matter. When it's sudden death, do or die, or when you're sipping a cold beer at the last chance saloon.
It wasn't always the brilliant gameplay, the bounce of the ball, a ref's decision. The difference usually came down to a simple choice, and the most basic human instinct of all, fight or flight.
When you run out there and the ball is kicked off, the choice is yours. Do I bite down on the mouth guard and rip in, or do you run for cover?
Two of the finals. Now we're getting properly serious.
I love that from here on in, it's black and white. There's no grey area. Win, you stay in the ring and punch on. Lose, you got a date with Mad Monday. There's no hiding a poor performance behind the promise of a second chance. There's no tomorrow.
There's no next week.
There's no next month. It's ruthless. It's brutal. Get the win or get out of the way.
You're kidding.
The greats run from no one.
As the great Australian philosopher Jimmy Barnes once said,
there ain't no second prize. For Brighton's lawyers, it's sudden death semi-final football. Live from ANZ Stadium, the Eels versus the Cowboys. As Triple M rocks the footy.
Yes, indeed. Knockout footy. It is Parramatta versus North Queensland here from a chilly ANZ Stadium in the Golden West of Sydney. The clouds are just forming here as obviously the lights start to take over. Weather won't be a factor, it seems, but boy, it is windy and it is cold. We're about an hour and a half away. In fact, 7:40 is the scheduled kickoff time between the Eels and the Cowboys. Two wonderful stories. Parramatta, their first home final in 8 years, and already the fans are pouring in. It's a huge night here in the Sydney Olympic Park precinct. We've got this game. We've got the AFL final over the road. Tony Robbins, the inspirational speaker, is doing a gig tonight. Maybe one of the teams can drag him in for a pre-game speech and a few other things as well. And that we welcome the team as we do prime time for Fox League. Ryan Girdler, hello to you.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I heard some of your comments on the Panthers. We'll get to those a little later, but obviously you're a very disappointed Panthers fan today.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. Yeah, I thought they they did pretty well to come back from what was a poor start to the season and had a pretty good run late there and got themselves an opportunity last night to go up there to Brisbane and play an undermanned Brisbane side, and I thought they had the quality of player to go on and win that one, but they couldn't get it done.
We'll talk about more a little later. Before I introduce the rest of the team, I better update you on Holden Cup because we've got a monumental upset on the cards here. Early second half, Manly 8th place leading 1st place Cronulla 32-12 with a kick to come. So 28 minutes to go there. We all know the nature of Holden Cup and teams can rack up a score quickly, but boy, the Sharks in big trouble. The winner of this game goes on to take the Dragons, and Penrith last night, they won, didn't they? They beat the Broncos, and they will take on Parramatta in the preliminary final there. Wendell Saylor, hello to you.
Good evening, Dan.
How was Brizzy last night?
Mate, Brisbane was good. Mate, took a little bit longer than I wanted to, but I got there. The atmosphere wasn't quite as intense or as exciting as it's been probably over the final couple of years, but the Broncos fans were pretty happy with their win.
What do we put that down to, Wendell? Do they sense that maybe this Broncos team is not quite
mean, they're in the final four, so of course they're a premiership contender. But I noticed that too, watching on TV, that it felt like a regular Friday night game.
Yeah, no, and it felt like a regular Friday night game too, because they were just doing enough to win. I'm not sure the fans. I know Darius Boyd's been injured, but I don't know if they got the star quality that they have over the years. Like, but they still, they're a tradesmanlike side, I suppose. They're not going to blow too many teams away. And last night, you know, Penrith, a couple of tough calls, but the Broncos did enough to win.
Billy Harrigan has got one of the great sprays of all time coming up if he repeats what he said off air. We'll get to that shortly, but hello Billy.
Isn't it, boys?
Now, straight away, I'm going to ask you, not a controversial result last night, but there was a controversial moment.
Yes.
Corey Oates KO'd, and it's a bad one.
Yeah.
Do you let play go on for one more play?
This is a situation where you can really only answer it as the referee out on the field, because you do have a duty of care. And when you see someone go down where you think, wow, this is, one, life-threatening, or two, this bloke is in a lot of bother, it's dangerous. So, in other words, snap neck, or the way he's hit the ground, or something, which you just go, I've got to stop play, you'll stop it straight away. You then got to balance that up with, I have to play out the play because it's advantageous to the other team, which it was, because it looked like Penrith were going to score. It would have scored.
At maximum, it's 10 seconds longer.
Yeah. So, in hindsight, looking at that, you would have liked to have said, righto, play on, he gets down there, and wherever he gets tackled or scores a try, you just, before you even award it, you go, stop, someone get to this bloke and run back to him. Because you know when he goes down, trainers these days are already on the field. So they're going to run straight to him and attend to him. So that's the first one. But I don't blame a referee when you're out there and you see something which you think, oh, I've got to stop play straight away because of his duty of care. So it's a tough argument. And for any one of us to sit here and say what he should or should not have done is very difficult, because when you're on the field and you see it, that's when you react.
Apparently, visually, it was awful. The sound, I'm told, on the field was horrific.
Yeah.
So,
and if that's what happens, that's when you think, it's immediate, I have to get to him. Because remember, seconds could be the difference between a bloke dying or living. So sometimes you're just going to go, I've got to stop play.
Yeah.
I don't care where it is, what's doing, I've got to go to him.
That was the right decision?
Well, the referee can only answer that.
Yeah.
The instinct, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brent Reed, hello to you.
Hello, Dan.
Your shoes have made a triumphant return. Getting a bit dirty, though, your tennis ball colour...
I haven't worked out whether you can wash them yet. I'm thinking you can.
I might
experiment this way.
Well, they're knockoff. They're Nikes. I mean, unless you've got them from Thailand or somewhere.
No, Vegas.
But the Nike spelled wrong.
I've always had an issue with washing shoes, though. It concerns me. I'm always worried they'll fall apart in the washing machine.
Or the smell factor.
Well, you wash
them. That's an issue.
Hand wash them, mate. In the tub. Little brush.
Jeez. It's a bit old school, Bill.
Well, I am old school, Reedy.
32-12.
I don't speculate.
It remains.
Here we go.
Bella, what are we in? 8 minutes and it started, Dan.
Yeah.
Can we play his jingle or something?
He's not
going
to let you go.
I haven't done anything tonight, but I already checked the radar. You're safe. There's
I'm still waiting for Des Hasler to get sacked, Bill. Wasn't that going to happen 2 weeks ago?
You'll say thanks, Bill, for that.
I think Billy's retired, by the way, from the new... He's gonna rest on one. It's like
no, I have. I've got another one, but it's already been speculated out there, and I don't speculate.
What club does it involve?
Manly, from Penrith to Manly, but that's already been tossed around.
Oh, anyway. Matt Moylan. Yeah. Okay, well, there you go.
Actually, speaking of...
Mate, but has anyone said it's a done deal?
No.
Are you saying right here that it's
a done deal?
Have we got the audio? No.
Hold on.
Can we try... Just hold on there. We've got to give that the proper... It deserves.
It's a done deal.
Bill.
No, just wait.
Bill, don't go off too early.
Yeah, build it up.
I have that problem.
We'll get to that shortly. Yeah, what else is doing, Reedy? I know we did your big mail last night, so I don't expect you to have any breaking stories tonight, but what's going on?
Well, that's a good thing, D, because I haven't really made a lot of calls today. I spent some time with the family, to be honest. So apart from that, not much.
Is that the one time you go up to Brisbane, is to you coincide it with a final?
No, I flew straight home and spent time with my family in Sydney.
Your immediate family.
I brushed my mum and dad. They were filthy.
I'm told they had no interest in seeing you anyway.
That could be true.
Okay, without any further ado.
He doesn't just make the news, he breaks the news.
I heard a whisper today,
Bill,
that James Graham signed with St George.
Harrigan.
I go to bed every night fearing what the great Billy Harrigan might produce next.
Forget Rothfield, Weidler, Hooper and Reed. When it comes to the big stories, there's only one newsbreaker in town.
I won't give you the identity because you can't give up the source.
Bill Harrigan.
I'm not going to bet my house on it.
Moylan to Manly Dundu.
How do you know that it's signed?
And Reedy, Yeah. Thank you for contributing to that opener, because that makes it. The voice, everything.
You know who you recorded.
I know where you were, and I know it.
I sound really rough.
Yeah, you sound worried.
Well, when it's 5 a.m. at the Monte Carlo Hotel in Las Vegas after you've done God knows what.
You know what? I can't remember making that order.
But I thank you, Rudy. It's very good.
I'll tell you what is interesting about the Matt Moreland situation now, though. Tyrone May got injured last night. Sounds like he did his ACL. So that's a 6 to 9 month injury, right? So he won't be ready to start next year. And he would be the 5'8 if and when Matt Moreland goes. So.
But you got Bryce Cartwright there, even though I think he's more of a back rower.
Greedy, what is your gut feel about what's going on with Penrith and Moylan? I mean, you know, we've heard about councillors and other things, and it's hard to question these things because you're getting into very delicate territory. But there does seem to be a whiff of something about this whole thing.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's a bit more to it than probably we're being told. I'm sure Matt's got some issues, and you know, I would never question that, because, I mean, that'd be questioning Phil Gould, and I don't think Phil Gould would lie about something as significant as that. But there's certainly issues beyond that that, you know, as Billy's just pointed out, I mean, the mail all week, and for more than a week, has been that he will go to Manly.
Well, James Hooper said today on the show that he was really keen to play last night, Matty Moylan. Yeah. So he said that obviously there's two trains of thought at the moment. Obviously the one that Phil Gould came out and spoke to, and also the one that, you know, Matt Moylan and the friends and family around him that believe that, you know, he's ready to play and he just wants to get on with things. So it is an interesting situation that they find themselves, Penrith, in. And I just hope that, you know, he's not made the scapegoat, because... he's a local junior. They really could have done with him there last night. And if it's, you know, got something to do with the salary cap or other sort of issues, it'd be better if everyone was honest and upfront about it.
I mean, as I said last night, Dan, if Manly are to get him in, they're going to have to make some room, because he's on a big deal at Penrith and there's a TPA involved in it that may not necessarily follow him. So you've got to make that up as well. So Manly's going to have to make some moves for that to happen.
And Penrith have made it very clear through their channels, you know, through journalists they've spoken to privately, they're not contributing a cent if Moylan goes elsewhere.
And nor should they.
This is Triple M rocking the finals here as we get ready for Parramatta and the North Queensland Cowboys. No change to Holden Cup. Manly on the attack, leading 32-12. They almost extended their lead, but a desperate tackle keeps it to a 20-point game with 20 minutes to go. We might take a break. We'll come back. We've got a fair bit in store between now and 7:40. It is finals footy. The Eels and the Cowboys. We'll concentrate on these teams shortly as we do prime time for Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today. Triple M footy for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M NRL primetime. Thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
Triple M NRL's great finals moments. In 2014, the Roosters were runaway favourites to defend their title, while the Panthers were supposed to be there to make up the numbers. The Roosters led their qualifying final 18-12 with 3.5 minutes left. Then, a Panther revival for the ages.
Salah joins in, puts a little kick in. Minicello's back there trying to put a cover over it. The ball comes bouncing back into the field of play. What's happened here? Penrith think they've scored a try. Now it's down to 15. The kick from Salah. The kick from Salah. It's a goal. It's a goal. A field goal for Salah. Penrith have gone absolutely berserk.
The Panthers won 19 points to 18 in a finals thriller.
I think we called that game as well, Gerds.
Yeah.
That was just extraordinary.
Belter. Absolute screaming game, that one. Yeah, what a year Sowie had. I know he works with us a fair bit, but that surprised me. Him coming back and the contribution he made in that season. Almost got into the GF.
Yeah, well, Tony Zalesniak did something miraculous, or yes, he dragged the ball back in. And
yeah, I think they ruled against a try, which was a defining moment in one of the games, and they sent it to the bunker, and it got overruled, if memory serves me correctly. And yeah, that was went on to help them into that next round of the finals, which they just got done, I think, in the prelim final.
Yeah, against the Bulldogs right
here. Yep.
And we'll play some more finals highlights through tonight and tomorrow as well, and next week also. Manly's in again.
Yeah.
38-12. They are thumping the minor premier Cronulla Sharks in Holden Cup, and Cronulla's going to go out in straight sets.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Dare I say they're bullying them? Yeah. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, no.
Okay, now what is going on? So they punt Manly, their assistant coach, Willie Peters. He's the fall guy, but then we hear stories that he's being bullied.
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned last night there's a lot more to come in this story. It's not going to go away anytime soon. There's some issues, obviously, that have been going on for quite some time now, and Willie Peters had enough.
Do we need to wait for Billy to break it, or are you going to tell us about it?
Wow. Jeez.
Or are you just going to leave us hanging like that?
It's just going
to... Well, there's more to come.
It's out there now, isn't it?
Well, what's more to come? What don't we know?
Willie had issues with... He felt he was being bullied and harassed in the workplace, and he wasn't happy about it.
Brady, can you not have your phone near the microphone? It's coming through.
Sorry, Dan, sorry. It's unprofessional, isn't it?
It's someone here.
It's sorry, mate. It's very unprofessional.
Did you
think a bloke would know better after all these years?
This is Triple M Rocking Finals Footy. Fox League, bring us prime time. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today, and you can tweet us any time. That's thanks to 4 and 20. The footy is on, which means it's 4 and 20 pie time. Now, a reminder for our Sydney audience. Now, yes, there is a Sydney team playing in the AFL, but on 104.9, we'll be taking the league. And then once that is done, we'll be crossing over to the Giants game. The Giants game is on DAB Plus as well, so from start to finish. But the state, if you're listening to 104.9, we will be here at this game until full time. And if you listen like I do in the car to Triple M via DAB Digital, you'll have to switch over to the old 104.9 if you want to hear the rugby league. And hello to everyone listening through the network, Triple M Sydney, Triple M Brisbane, our stations through Orange and Dubbo, KOFM Newcastle, and then Queensland, Toowoomba, Maryborough, the Hot Country Network, Dalby, Charleville, Emerald, Kingaroy, Longreach, Mount Isa, and Roma, your Cowboys. Getting closer to what would be one of the great Cinderella stories if they could make it to a grand final. Do you give him much chance tonight, Wendell?
Cowboys? Yeah, of course I do. I think, you know, because no one rates them, but they've got a pretty fair side still. I know they've had some injuries, but, mate, when no one gives you a chance, things happen like they did last week. And on the back of someone like Tamalolo, you know, you got Lachlan Coote at the back. I give him a chance tonight. Yeah, I do. Because last week, too, they would have taken a lot for Parramatta to go down there. They come up short. Two ways you can go. You can get a lot of confidence, or it takes them out of you. So I don't know which way it's going to go tonight, but they'll be a bit nervous tonight, Parramatta.
Do you think they might have spent their pennies, the Eels? Because this idea...
The Eels,
because yeah. I love it when coaches during finals time say, oh, we have nothing to lose. Brad Arthur did it last week. Paul Green's done it tonight. It's an absurd concept, isn't it, that you come this far and then you've got nothing to lose. It's a lovely thing to say, but no one believes it, do they?
Yeah, look, I guess that's all the message they're trying to give to the players, especially Paul Green. I mean, you know, they go out there tonight and there's not a lot of people that give them too much hope. And look, for me tonight, like Wendell, like, it'd be disrespectful not to give the Cowboys a chance because of, you know, the resistance and how resilient they've been for the probably past half a season, really. But I think tonight the ball's in Parramatta's court. It's up to Parramatta and how they come. If they come to play and put in a performance anywhere near like they did last week against Melbourne, I think they'll just be way too good for the Cowboys. But if they come and they're a little bit complacent, they've had a bit of an issue so far this season beating the sides that they're supposed to. Yeah, they get up really well for games, but we saw them against Newcastle about a month ago, Dan, you know, really meant to, they'd won, you know, I think they were 7 or 8 in a row and then came up and then just took their foot off the gas and Newcastle gave them a bit of a belting. So, yeah, look, I think if Parramatta go out there tonight and can execute anywhere near like they did last week, they'll be too good.
Yeah.
But they need to do that.
Del, you, being the Queenslander, would have done a lot of travelling.
Yes.
Does it actually, I mean, Townsville, it's basically 3 times the distance, Townsville to Sydney, than Brisbane to Sydney. Do you think it's going to get... Four times in 6 weeks I've had to come to Sydney. Does it eventually wear you down?
Yeah, at some stage, you just get tired. Like, Wayne Bennett was really good when we were the Broncos, but at some stage, you know, you get inside the first week, it's finals time. Sort of week 3, week 4, you just think, oh, you know, the end's near, one more week, so there's a lot of mixed emotions going on. And, like, you know, like today, even if they get up today, you know, they know what's at the end of that, but, you know, if the Cowboys get beaten tonight... Mate, respect to them. It's been a gutsy season for them.
They haven't won back-to-back weeks in Sydney for 2.5 years. Not that they have that opportunity all that often. They're playing 2 games in Sydney in consecutive weeks, but it rarely happens. Now, can I just take us down another path? And Billy Harrigan's here as well with Brent Reed. A lovely chat today on your show, boys. The best chins in rugby league.
Oh, yeah.
Did we settle on a top 3? Because I know there was some...
Yeah.
What were the top 3 we came up with?
Tony Carroll was.
He's an automatic.
Cinzano.
Tony Carroll, number one. Brent Tate, number two. I didn't want to throw Tate in there, my little draft stars buddy, but he's number two. And number three, we had. Did you have the Cleary, one of the Clearys?
We had Nathan Cleary in there, which was that's probably a little bit harsh.
Oh,
we had
Mark Gaz.
We had Mark Gaz.
Has to be Gaz.
We had
Willie Mason.
Where was Willie?
Oh yeah, Willie.
Willie got mentioned by two. Also had Boyd Cordner.
Who else? Cohen Hess. Was he?
Oh yeah,
Cohen. No, he didn't get a mention. Cohen. Yeah.
Well, he's a rising chin.
Yeah.
Jawline it was too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I see some tweets.
Oh, we're dealing with the big issues on a Saturday, Dan.
No, I think it's a discussion that, look, I don't think anything will ever beat your red-headed team of the century.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one, but there were some great suggestions here. Brent Tate was a very popular one. This is nasty. Marty Bella has more chins than a Chinese phone.
That was the wrong style of chin.
He's not a good person, good bloke anyway. He isn't. He's rude. Anyway, enough about that.
The Twitter or Marty?
No, Marty.
Rod Wishart was given a run here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
James Tarmo. Well, he's just got a big head rather than a big chin.
Yeah.
There's a few of us.
He looked funny with a small chin.
We should do big heads. I'd be in there with Conrad Harrell, Sam Burgess. There'd be a few.
Oh, so not big as in big ego, just actually literally big head.
Yeah, massive head. Yeah, massive.
Big heads.
Oh, that's your one next week.
That's next week. Yeah.
Sammy Burgess, that's as good.
So for Solomona. Yeah, he couldn't have a small head. He's like over 2 metres tall.
I'd be on that podium somewhere.
So anyway.
Gordy'd be there.
Cliff Lyle. Lyle's had a massive melon, didn't he? Wasn't that why he was called Napa? Because his head was so big?
I thought because he's like the Napa all the time.
What's Napa?
Yeah. I don't know. It was something to do with his head, wasn't it?
I thought he just liked having sleeps.
Yes, mate, honestly, get those shoes off, mate.
I'm looking up. Hang on, I'm telling you.
Billy, can you
help Reedy out.
I'm starting this microphone off. He's rattled, Billy.
Is starting to get to Reedy, but Cronulla's in 38-16, Manly over the Sharks, so 22 points with 10 to go. So Manly seemingly have that one. Well in hand on a chilly night here in Sydney, and it is windy, which the plus of a windy night, okay, everyone has to rug up, but it usually means we don't have dew on the surface, so maybe that's something in our favour tonight. Do we think the Broncos can seriously challenge the Storm next week?
No.
Alright, that's the end of that discussion.
Not if they play like that. Like, they just keep giving team chances. They're not clinical at the moment. They need Darius back. If Darius is not back, they're not a hope.
Yeah, I think Melbourne showed last week. Melbourne are a side that can be not the best side on the night and still win the game if you don't play for 80 minutes. Parramatta did that last week. I thought Parramatta were potentially the better side for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
But they clocked off there for small moments, and then Melbourne made them pay. The way Brisbane are going at the moment, Darius Boyd comes in. It's a nice story, and they'll go down there with some confidence. I think they've won two out of the last three down there, and the last one that they lost down there was by 2 points. So it's not that they're worried about going down to Melbourne. The fact is, if you're going to beat Melbourne Storm, you need to play for 80 minutes. And I don't know, they were tenacious defensively last night, and their scramble was amazing, and they're certainly defending for 80 minutes. But are they going to be able to attack and score enough points?
What are you laughing at, Bill?
To worry the Storm.
Sorry, Gertz. Cronulla just scored in this Holden Cup.
No, just laugh away.
Had to do the quick kick, and the trainer in the yellow shirts waving the kicker to hurry up, come back. He fell over while he's trying to.
Archer spray in a minute, I'm going to have a little giggle.
I thought you were making some valid points there, Gertz. I thought it was a bit harsh by Billy.
Yeah.
A soft laugh.
I've got to say, you said they won't be worried about going to Melbourne. They should be, because they've won 4 of 23 games against Melbourne in the last decade. They've hardly ever won it in Melbourne.
I mean, you're going back to when Alfie was playing.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, Scott Minton,
07.
Yeah.
Since 07, they've won 4 games out of 23 against Melbourne. Now, Craig Bellamy has... I mean, obviously, Wayne wasn't there that whole time, but Craig Bellamy
sounds
has
better.
Dominated
two from the last three. I mean, let's talk about currency.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this group of players.
Well, most of those blokes have been there a while.
Because unless they get one of the guys...
Have you heard of Sam Thaiday?
They did not unless knock him off last year, early in the year in Melbourne.
The way they're playing, you seriously
unless they get Brad Myers to come in and give a team talk about how tough it is in Melbourne, I think they'll be all right.
That should get yelling.
what are you saying? Good, you're saying they've got no chance?
Yeah, I don't give them much of a chance.
Neither do I.
But hang on, Nick Arima and Milford, when they're together, they're 10-1 as a halves combination. Boyd will be back. Benji, you would assume bench. Meade will probably replace Corey Oates. He's not going to play, is he, Corey Oates?
And I hope he doesn't. I really hope he doesn't, because Meade obviously did a good job, but I just worry about Corey. That wasn't nice to see last night.
I just don't think, other than that, I just don't think they've got the forward pack in big games. Yeah, to trouble Melbourne. I think that's one of Melbourne's strengths. So they're going to be hard to contain.
Tavita Pangai will be back, I think.
He did see. Wayne said last night that Tavita would be back, and he did say Corey Oates would play. He said they were confident he would be right to play.
There was an unfortunate moment too with Jai Arrow continuing.
Oh,
that's just one of those unfortunate things where we as television viewers could see that he was in Disneyland, but the trainers on the field hadn't seen it, or at least hadn't given off the indication, Meridia, that they'd seen it.
There's been a bit of that this final series, though, I reckon. Blokes suffering head knocks and staying on for a little while. I mean, Peter Wallace did it too last night. Peter Wallace was on.
He got knocked out by the ball.
He stayed on for five minutes.
And he looked still knocked out when he came back on.
Yeah.
So I think there's actually been a bit of that this final series where teams have been, they've taken their time to take players off who've copped head knocks. They've taken them off eventually, but it's taken them some time before it's happened.
All right, let's take a song. We'll come back. I'm looking forward to this Billy Spray. Now, Cronulla, by the way, have scored. Not here, but a few moments ago. So it's 38-22, and they've just missed a chance. So Manly up by 16 with 6 to play. So it still seems out of reach, but I suppose while there's life, there's hope. Triple M rocking the finals. Prime time for Fox League. Triple M footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Triple M and stations up and down the East Coast. Finals footy. We are just over an hour away here at ANZ Stadium from the Eels and the Cowboys. And Manly have Holden Cup in hand now. They've made it 42-22 over Cronulla with only 2.5 minutes there. So next week, it'll be Manly versus Dragons in one prelim final and Penrith versus Parramatta in the other, if I've done this correctly. So yep. Penrith, Parramatta, and Manly, Dragons. So there you go. Times and dates to be confirmed there. The Parramatta team will be in soon, but there will be changes. I can tell you there will be changes. We won't have it officially for a few minutes, but they'd already lost Tepoi Moroa. He was cut yesterday, Reedy.
That's pretty serious, Dan. He's had 3 concussions, I think, and basically when you have that, you have to go to the NRL to get a clearance. Your actual club doctor can't clear you. You need an independent doctor to clear you. So they took no chances with him. They didn't even bother getting him tested. They just ruled him out.
Right, so they're down to 19, and that'll become 17 in a few minutes. You got Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor. And Billy Harrigan, what has got you fired up tonight?
What's got me fired up is that there are 3 touch judges who have been tapped on the shoulder to say you are not required next year. Jeff Eunice, Reedy, and Reedy,
Russell
not you, Reedy. And Russell Turner, Gerd's mate with the cap this year. Those 3 guys, look, for instance, Russell Turner's over 400 first-grade touch judges. They have over 1,000 games experience, yet they were tapped on the shoulder with a few weeks before the end of round 26. And not one of them have appeared in a semi-final series last week. And yet, and this is no offence to the people who got their appointments and they deserve them, but Casey Badger and Belinda Sleeman would only have less than 10 games each on the line, I suppose. You've got a bloke like Chris Sutton, who made his debut last night on the line in a semi-final first grade. And yet these 3 guys did not appear once in there. And what fires me up about it is you leave them out. Even if, like, they've done nothing wrong. If they'd made mistakes during the season, you'd say, righto, mate, you didn't get it, and you'd give it to the blokes. The appointment should go to the blokes that deserve them. But they also deserve their go. And when you're leading a group of men, you show leadership, you show strength, and you appoint by performance and everything, you would say to those blokes, okay, guys, you're not coming back next year. There's your semi-final. And if you're good enough, you'll go through to the grand final. But even if they didn't, last week could have been their end of their careers after their very extinguished career. As I've said, state of origins, test matches, grand finals, and over 300 games for each of them. And yet they don't get the bow. They get the bow out in some backyard ground in round 26. One of them, I got told, flew, I think, to Queensland or something like that, where he couldn't even take his family to watch him in his last game. That all comes down to that bloke down there, my mate, Tony Archer, and his leadership and the way he's handled this group, and no wonder there's anarchy, no wonder they want him out, and no wonder there is no morale within that squad. When you do that to 3 distinguished touch judges, Russell Turner over 17 years, and the bloke bowed out in some game where he couldn't even take his family. That's a joke. And the sooner they start to have a look at this bloke and say, mate, it's time to move on and start fixing the game up. And that's where I come back to Todd Greenberg. He can see it happening. He can see all the one percenters, the way they play the ball, the scrums, offside kickoffs, all the stuff that I've been bringing up all year long. He can jump on it by saying to Tony Archer, fix it. He hasn't fixed it, so move him on. But one of them has got to fix it. So when we go into next year, we have got the game that resembles the game of rugby league and the rules that we've got. And if you also want another tip, now's the time to go back to one referee and get someone in the bunker that knows what they're doing. That's my rant.
Oof. That's a
okay, Bill.
That's a five-star rant.
Nice.
Is there a skill, so you criticising having someone make their touch judge debut in a semi-final? I don't mean this to sound rude at all. Is it a specific skill to be a sideline official?
Absolutely. They have a job. And now we, and a lot of people, bag touch judge and say they don't do anything on the line, or they just put their flag up and they go out. No, they have a role and they have a job to do, watching the play go. When the ball's coming towards them, they're watching the ball. When the play's going away, they're watching the player to clear them of contact, all that sort of thing. They have their roles and responsibilities at certain aspects of the game and certain parts of the field. So it is a job that if you have got a full-time touchy like Russell Turner, Reedy, and
Jeff Eunice,
you get those blokes, they know exactly what they're doing. They're out there, they're seasoned veterans. Say to me, Billy Harrigan, you're going into a semi-final. Do you want Russell Turner on the line or do you want Chris Sutton? Chris Sutton, fast, plenty of ability, the whole thing. Now, I've got no problem with that kid and his appointment. Good luck to him. But I'm turning around saying I'm taking Russell Turner every day of the week. I want a seasoned veteran who knows his gig on the sideline with me when I'm doing my big game.
Bill, can I ask you a question? The referee's boss, do you think that has to be a former referee?
It doesn't have to be a former referee, but he needs to have, his right-hand man needs to be a referee. Peter Louis did it. He had Brian Grant. He lent on Brian Grant big time. Robert Finch came in after him. He called Stephen Clark, Tim Mander and myself in 2003. He said, guys, I've got no idea what I'm doing here. I am a manager of men. I can run this business, all that sort of thing, but I need you blokes to help me. And away we went. And then later on he brought in Mick Stone and Stewie Raper to help him along while we were still refereeing. And then I came back in a year or two later after that. And then they had Daniel Anderson come in for 2013 for that one-off year, and he had help. He had Archer and that in there helping him. You need someone in there to help him. And the other bloke who's flown under the radar is Russell Smith. Put him on an aeroplane, send him back. That's the contribution that bloke is having in the squad at the moment. It is negligible, and it's contributed to what they're doing there at the moment. And he's flown under the radar. Missed him.
Percentage-wise, how many people do you believe are disenchanted within the referees' ranks?
The whole squad except the little knit group. And once that little knit group, one of those blokes falls out of favour, they'll quickly swing to the other side too. I'm telling you, it is more than 90% of the squad.
Sounds like an episode of Survivor, doesn't it?
Good. The tribe has spoken. You're out.
Were you... is proud the right word? Probably not. What was your reaction to Todd Greenberg taking a stand for the referees on Monday?
Outstanding. Outstanding. And I was glad that he did, and it was great to see someone in a position like that come out and support the referees and stand side by side. I can tell you a lot of times when I was in that job, I didn't have someone come out and support me like he did then. And he was 100% correct. And even last week during the call, I said a lot of those calls were correct. There was some refereeing across the field that wasn't up to speed. Ashley Klein's performance on the Sunday and so on. And here you got, here's another one. You got Gavin Badger, one of the best referees. Where's he this weekend? Gone.
Yeah, but Billy hadn't had a good couple of weeks.
It was great.
Even you, his best mate, had to admit he made blues.
Your best mate.
He's a good bloke, but he's not the best mate. Yeah. No.
Second best.
I don't have one, I don't think. I'm a ref. We don't have mates. But Todd Greenberg coming out and supporting was terrific, and that's what's needed. And Flano, Shane Flanagan, and Trent Barrett were way out of line.
Is it unfair to get coaches after a game, put them in a room surrounded by journalists, and ask them leading questions about the adjudicating of a match and making the coaches comment when essentially they're not meant to say anything?
Well, they don't have to say anything.
They're out there to answer questions, aren't they?
But then if they don't come in there and answer questions under the current policy, they get into trouble by the NRL and fined or something, do they? Well, like, they can't just say, I'm not going.
If they said to the journalists who asked those questions about refereeing, I was probably one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not answering the refereeing question.
Yeah, that's...
There would be no issue.
But they can't
help
themselves.
They would not get fined.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They can't help themselves.
Not when they bring a pre...
You turn up with a list, yeah. It's a bit transparent, isn't it?
Correct. And I'm with Gertz. You don't have to have it. Why have to have it?
What
then?
Post-match press conference.
Why not have it later on when they've calmed down? Why not have it on the Monday? Go to their training session on the Monday, their cool down, and speak to the coach then.
Yeah, but you know why? Because, mate,
Firstly, it fills papers, and every code in the world seems to be okay with coaches speaking after a game. Yeah. We can't be the only code that says, no, you can't speak.
Try telling the broadcasters who pay $2 million a year, you can't talk to the coach, say, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
But even for me, when Trent Barrett last week, when he was saying, mate, can you? I want you to go in there and explain to my players what, I'm thinking, well, some of your players, like, it's a game of inches, you know, as they say, like, Dylan Walker, if he stays on side, we did it, you know, Aquilio Arte.
Now, Phil Blake.
Yeah, he saved his worst game for last. Unfortunately, he's had a good season, but he's knocked that ball on, so at some stage, you've got to come back to the players. Don't get me wrong. The peachy thing, I had no idea. Bill was across it. Yeah, no, I know. That's
no
yeah.
one knows.
But that's
no one is 100% certain
okay.
on that one. But what I would have done, if someone had said that to me, I could go to Flano and say, I'll tell you what, Flano, just give me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll go down there and I'll write my list and I'll come into your dressing room and I'll have my go, right?
Bill, while Flanagan was the most detailed and probably went the hardest, he's no different to Barrett, no different to Paul McGregor, no different to Ricky Stewart, no different to Paul Green, who have all gone after referees over the last couple of months. So I felt sorry for Flanagan in this sense. Why is he any worse than those guys? Hasn't the game allowed this to fester? Isn't it the game's fault, Billy, that we have allowed coaches to go on these rants and only now Todd Greenberg comes out and does something about it?
Correct. Correct. And when you have a look at the AFL, they don't get in there and stinging remarks like that and really rip into the referees. And the reporters don't write up negative about the referees or the umpires. And that's because they were told by Andrew Dimitri many, many years ago, if you write one bad story about the umpires, you better write 9 good ones or your accreditation is gone and you can write your stories from
that's
the back of the
That's not right, stand. Though, Bill. There was an AFL umpiring controversy, I think it was last week or the week before.
And they went to
if they don't
time.
Go to town on their umpires like we go to town on the refs.
Maybe they're better.
No.
Maybe the umpires are better than our refs.
No, they're not, because they just don't. Well, look at rugby union too. There's a forward pass, a blatant forward pass in rugby union. They go, wow, that's forward. Anyway, what a lovely try. That's all you hear about it.
I've got to say, you're right, Dan, though. What happens is you give the coaches an inch to take them off. So they start the year off, no one can talk about referees, and slowly it creeps into the game and creeps into the game. You have these occasional $10,000 fines, and coaches they ask permission to spray. So they go to the CEO and say, is it okay if I, you know, lose $10,000
this week? They put money away for this
eventuality. And the CEO's what happened. You know what, for me the issue is, and I said this to a senior, before Todd's press conference the other day, I was talking to a senior NRL official. I said, you need to fine the coaches. Make the fine $50,000.
Oh, come on, Reedy.
If a coach goes to his CEO and says, mate, can I have 50 today? The CEO will say to him, no, mate, pull your head in, don't say anything.
And Reedy,
the fines aren't big enough.
I missed it. Was one 20 and one was 30?
Well, I think it's because Flano went harder.
Yeah, because he backed up the next day, didn't he?
Yeah.
Backed up on the Monday.
And also, that on their website,
yeah.
They had a spray at the NRL as well.
Okay.
So it wasn't just because of what Flano said. It was also because on their website they went to town.
So did they actually say, righto, you have got a 10 grand fine for that, you got a 10 grand fine for that, and you got a 10 grand. That's probably true. Because when I heard 30 and 20, I think, what's the difference? They go into the press conference, they give a spray. You want to go 50, go 50.
Well,
you want a deterrent.
Flanagan wasn't 3 times worse than Paul McGregor or Paul Green.
No, that's what I mean. That's why it's hard to...
But I actually feel, in that sense, I thought it was...
But it happened on a bigger stage, Dan. Like, they also took into account that it was the finals and it overshadowed a great weekend of the finals, and that contributed to a heftier fine as well, because it was magnified because of the environment it took place in. All eyes were on the game because it was opening weekend of the final.
Reedy, do you think our game suffers from a culture where we, as reporters and media, look for the negative more than other sports?
I think some reporters are probably more negative than others. I don't think that's why.
There's been negative sell papers.
It must sell.
It
has to sell.
Is that the reason? Like, I mean, does a negative article sell more than a positive one?
I think a good positive story sells articles, sells papers as well. Well, it does.
No, really.
The panel has been going on for years and years and years, would suggest they know that negative sells papers.
Yes. Dan, there's a reporter that we know very well here at Triple M who actually said to my wife one day that if a dog bites a man, there is no story. But if the man bites the dog, you've got a story. And what he means by that is, mate, we want the negatives. We want something that's right out there. So if you've got something, make it bigger than what it is. Throw it out there. That's what sells the papers.
I mean, look at the story the other day of Bodine Thompson. Really, nothing has been... I mean, okay, you mightn't fit your moral standards, but really, consensual adults doing consensual things. And it's the top three stories of the Daily Telegraph website. So we're the idiots clicking on this stuff. We're falling for this stuff. Anyway, this went down a path I didn't think it would go. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're live at ANZ Stadium, and we will talk footy soon, I promise. We're about 55 minutes away from the Eagles and the North Queensland Cowboys. We do prime time for Fox League.
Triple M NRL Primetime, thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
Around Oz. Live on Triple M NRL. Shout it out. Welcome back to Finals Footy, like you've never heard it before. For Brighton's Lawyers, live around Oz on Triple M NRL.
50 minutes away from North Queensland Cowboys versus Parramatta Eels here in Sydney. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, a fired up Billy Harrigan and Brent Reed are here with Dan Ganane. Let's in fact go to Brent Reed. He is with the Cowboys coach, Paul Green.
Thanks, guys. Well, Greeny, some good news, Justin O'Neill back. You need all hands on deck at this time of the year.
Yeah, we do, and yeah, he's played in some big games. He's won two grand finals, so it's a real boost for us to have him back.
What does he specifically bring?
Oh, a bit of speed, a bit of strike, which we probably, I think, lacked. A little bit of threat on the edges there, and you know, hopefully he'll do that tonight.
You're obviously coming off a great win last week, and not many people thought you'd win last week. Not many people probably think you can win this week. What gives you faith that you can win again?
Oh, I just believe that we've got the game. The tough parts of our game we've had in spades throughout the year. They're the really hard things to get as a team. So we just need to put a bit of execution on top of that, and I'm confident we can do that.
You must be immensely proud of that they've got this far, given what you've overcome. But to go another week, what would that mean to you?
Oh, look, I'm really proud of the way they've played all year. So to still be in the hunt now is a credit to them. But there'll also be a sense of if we don't get the job done tonight. Because, as I said, we've got the belief that we can win tonight.
Just in terms of Parramatta, what is it about them? You've got to, or what do you have to do well against them?
You've got to match them physically. They get up on the physical side of the game. So, they rush you, try and, upset your timing and tempo. So you've got to keep your composure and control the ball well and turn them around.
Thanks, Greeny.
Cheers.
Thank you, Reedy. Thank you, Paul Green. And that change confirmed. Justin O'Neill in, Jarvid Bowen out. A straight swap. There was talk about Winterstein might have been left out. He had a pretty ordinary game last week, and it was still battling a hamstring problem. And Fensham will start with Asiata going back to the bench. So that is the Cowboys team for Mungrel Boots, Aussie born and bred.
Yeah, that was probably Antonio Winterstein. I've been lucky enough to play against him. But last week, geez, he just made some uncharacteristic mistakes. So I thought he might actually drop him this week. But you know what? When you're a grand premiership player and you trust someone, he'll know that he'll come out tonight and do his job. But it's a big in there for the Cowboys, having Juzzy O'Neill back.
All right, yeah. It's been a pretty ordinary season injury-wise for him, but he returns after that dislocated elbow. And the Parramatta team is in, and there is Penny Terapo will play. So will Kaiser Pritchard. Kenny Edwards starts for Tepai Moiroa, who we knew was out. And also missing here is the number 16, Siavave. So there you go. Siavave, the biggest player in the team, is out. Pritchard and Terapo are in. Kenny Edwards will start. So they are the teams.
That's an interesting change, isn't it? Pritchard comes in for Vave.
Yes.
Yeah.
When Cam King has proven...
Cam King's been an 80-minute player, although he did cop a knock last week, but he seemed to recover. So, yeah, taking two number nines in today. Interesting.
Benny Terapo's only played six games all season. So we're here. This is the last game of the second week, the second game, obviously. How did we get to this point? Well, we had a spectacular opening weekend of the finals. As we do prime time for Fox League, here are some of the highlights.
Where will you get drama like that? The Roosters versus the Broncos.
steps out of dummy halfway thread, picked up by Pierce. Pierce straightens, then he underarms it back to Corner. Corner looks for an opening, pushes away from there. He's over. By Corner scores. Now the Roosters go ahead. Comes to Keary, dummy short pass. It's a line ball pass to Mitchell, who rolls over the line. The pass is fine, and the try is scored. Well, hang on, they're going to check ground.
Latrell Mitchell has lost possession of the ball.
But it stays on his chest. His arm gets back.
Although
it's a try.
Back in contact with the ball. He does not regain possession of the ball. No, therefore, it's a knock.
Massive call. Big play for Dwight. Dummy hum. Away to Hunt. Rolls a kick in the end goal. The chase is on. Hunt got there. Game on. Comes to Benji. And he just ventures outside his 40 before putting boot to ball. Oh, that's a good kick. It's a good kick. Ferguson. He taps it straight back in. Oh. It's a try. The Broncos are about to take the lead.
Play the free. Close to the left of the U.
Now to Pierce. Pierce to Keary. Keary on to Mitchell. But he gives a big dive. Then he steps inside the fullback. And he scores over the pass. Roosters win 24-22.
Eels v Melbourne Storm.
By the Smith. Goes to the open right to Cronk. The switch. Long pass left to Munster. He keeps it going to Curtis Scott. Steps inside Jennings. Then he basketballs it over the top. Off Parramatta hands. Taken by Anno Carr. It's 4 points to nil. Melbourne on the board first.
Play the King. Goes to the right to Brown. Quick pass to Moses. Moses now along here to Kenny Edwards. And he's put away offside, Melbourne. Nice play by Kenny Edwards. He's deliberately run into an offside player. He's then screamed to the referee, well, why is that a sin bin?
He's gone. A sin bin.
Comes to Norman. High ball. It's coming down here for Adokar, who's going to come forward. It's batted back here by Parramatta. It's a live ball. It's picked up by Alvaa. Alvaa. He goes over and scores. They all thought it was a knock-on, but Alvaa pants it down. Now they can look at this. It's a knock-on, not a forward pass.
That's gone.
Oh,
gee, that's close. Nice.
That's you see the contest is knocked forward by Parramatta.
Oh, big call. Big call. They are six away, dead centre. Here's King. Throws to the right to Moses.
No look inside pass to Smith. That is the pass from heaven. It's a try. Down the sideline. 25 metres out. Cuts back in field to Harris. Still the last. Long pass to Cronk. Cronk now decides to run it. Then throws to Kafusi. Kafusi steps inside Norman. Needs to give it. He throws the pass. Asa for Solomona. Kenny Bromwich goes for it. Yes, yes, yes.
1 metre out. Kenny Bromwich dummy half. Goes to Smith at first receiver. Long pass to Munster. Munster's in trouble, but he shakes off Moses. Basketball pass over the top. Adokar, a little brother. Infield. Here's Billy. Billy scores. And he becomes the second greatest scorer in the history of our game. The Melbourne Storm are through to another preliminary final.
Manly v Panthers.
Come across now to Tom Trbojevic. Trbojevic will put a little kick out for his winger. And Dylan Edwards takes it on the full and goes over in the corner. Are we going for a try? Oh, yeah! Way back again to Watts. Sent across to Cleary. Puts a kick in. Oh, now what a comedy of errors there. Cartwright's got over the line. The referee went for a tumble. Penrith get a try. Quick play the ball to Coruscant. Back across to Green. Shows it. Kicks it. Nice kick too. In the in-goal area. It's loose. Now Dylan Walker got there. But was the ball grounded, Bill?
Ball's grounded, but I think he's offside. Here we go now. Freeze frame. He's offside.
He's only five out. Can they hit field goal?
No, here.
No, they go the wrong side. And I think Peachy's knocked that on.
There's a shot where it hits his chest, then his knee, and it goes too far forward for his fingers to touch it. Here it comes on the board.
It's a try. Wallace to Cartwright. To Cartwright. Still going. Cartwright's going to score.
Oh, wow.
He gets over the line. Bryce Cartwright just to rub some salt into the wounds. Penrith 22, Manly 10.
Sharks v Cowboys.
Riley on the last. To Maloney. Maloney to Townsend. The high ball. Attacking the wing. Witherstein backing back. Takes it on the full. One out from his own line. The chase is great. Now Witherstein lost the ball. And it's been grounded by the Sharks.
We have a try.
That's Townsend, is it? It's a try. Here it comes down to Hampton. Throws to the right to Raziana. Throws out the back to Morgan. A little brother. Lowe's been held out of it. Lowe's been held out of it. This is going to be a problem.
That's a sin bin.
10 minutes. And this game has just changed.
This game has just taken
a turn. James Maloney is off. Played down to Hampton. Short side. Morgan. A delightful floating pass to the wing. And Carl Felt. He keeps his man at bay. Plants it down the corner. Ball is played. Try
to the right. Goes through the hands. Maloney. Cut out ball to Townsend. Stabs a kick into the end goal. They're going to score. Berg gets it. Plants it down in the corner. Granville has to race in a dummy half. Goes to Tamalolo. Tamalolo. He tries to pass his line to the line. He got over. I don't think he got it down.
At this point, it appears as though that the ball is in contact with the ground, which supports the live decision.
Comes to the left now. Sean Fenson beats a terrible attempt to tackle by Seguiara. Ball comes from penalty! Penalty in front! Ball was ripped out! It's about to be 4 minutes. Here's Ethan Lowe. Imagine the pressure. Yes, it's in front. The next to the left upright. And yes, he kicks it. 14-all. 4 seconds left. One more play. Comes out to Morgan. He shoots. He shoots. I think he got it. Cowboys have got it. Cowboys will win.
Finals footy on Triple M NRL. Only for our mates, Brighton's lawyers.
Welcome to Triple M Footy on a night when five teams becomes four, and whoever survives the next 80 minutes becomes the most unlikely of this year's preliminary finalists. Parramatta, North Queensland, you could read their stories in a novel and you'd barely believe it. One team living through adversity all year, the other seemingly having had adversity for three decades. The Eels, the club a perennial mess. Last year, disqualified, roster raided. But they're somehow here, on the back of a hard-nosed coach who grew up in the area. Mum, Dad and Nan, all Eels fanatics. A young Brad Arthur lived through the glory days of the 80s premierships and the legends and Cumberland Oval. Now he wants those days to be simply memories, not the ghosts that continue to haunt. And what about the Cowboys? You know the story, dead and buried. Well, 11 teams are gone from this year's premiership, and they're still here. And while ever they have that beast of a forward, Jason Tamalolo doing the heavy lifting, Michael Morgan doing the steering, and 17 players bleeding Cowboy grit, they'll always have a shot. Wonderful stories, both teams, but chances like this don't come around often, because Cinderella stories are great, but Cinderella stories don't end in week two of the finals. The Parramatta Eels, the North Queensland Cowboys, live on Triple M Footy. And the Roosters are waiting. Next Saturday night, Allianz Stadium is where you'll be, where we'll be for Roosters versus Parramatta or the Cowboys. The team here tonight, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Bill Harrigan and Brent Reed, along with Dan Ganona, about 35 minutes away from kickoff. 7:40 is the scheduled kickoff, and we've gone through those team changes. The Cowboys have brought back Justin O'Neill. David Bowen is out. Asiata swaps with Sean Fenson. And for Parramatta, a few changes. Tepo Moiroa and Sia Vave are gone. In comes Penny Terapo, Kayser Pritchard, with Ken Edwards going from the bench to the starting lineup. So these two sides have met twice this year. The first time it was a watershed for Parramatta. They beat the Cowboys 26-6 in Townsville. Now, there was no Thurston that day. The next time they met was in Darwin, and Thurston was there. It was a big comeback game. It turned out to be his last game this year, and they absolutely gave it to Parramatta 32-6. So, Wendell, can we read anything into those two contests, either of those two contests? Do they tell us something which will happen tonight?
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can, Dan. I think there's a totally different atmosphere and contest. You know, two teams that are playing different styles of football. Obviously, no Thurston, as we said. And this is finals. This is nervous. This is where you tighten up. And I think tonight, it's anybody's game, even though Parramatta, you know, they've got to be the favourites tonight. Look at this crowd, this vibe here. The Parramatta, the expectation. I haven't seen this for a long time, mate.
It's probably about 15,000-16,000 into the moment, Reedy, but you were saying, in fact, probably more than that. It's probably in the 20s now, but Reedy, you were saying there's a heap of people trying to get in.
Yeah, on the east, that's the eastern side of the ground right down. I think there's a lot of people outside the eastern gates now trying to get in, and security obviously is pretty intense, so there's a whole lot of people still to come into this ground, so I think we're going to have a pretty big crowd tonight.
Gerds, where are they going to get the Eels? If they're going to win this tonight, where do they outpoint them?
Well, I think what North Queensland have been really good at, and this little run that they've been on is doing the simple things right. They stay in the contest, they force errors, they complete at a high rate, and they really do execute their plays well, and they compete for 80 minutes. And I think, you know, that's where the Eels fell away last week. They're the things that they'll be trying to improve on, because bigger picture is, I think, if you're an Eels fan, you go away from that thinking, defensively, the Melbourne Storm didn't break us down. They scored 3 tries. One was off a forward pass. The other 2 was off a whole heap of offloads on last plays. And Melbourne Storm are better than anyone at breaking teams down defensively, especially with their set pieces. So I think they'll come with a lot of confidence, Parramatta. But what they let them down is they gave away 9 or 10 penalties. They dropped the ball through those different periods, and the Melbourne Storm capitalised. The Cowboys aren't dissimilar to that, Dan. They can play a game where they just wait for you to make errors like Cronulla did last week. Sure, they won't make as many as Cronulla did last week, but when Cronulla made the errors last week, the Cowboys were good enough to take advantage of the situation, and that's what got them the victory.
Billy, I don't want to fire you up here, but my stats here suggest that this is the first time Matt Checkin and Ben Cummins are working together all season. Did you used to do this when you were appointed refs? You just point the best two, and even if they hadn't worked all season, we'll just throw them together and hope for the best?
No, we tried to link them up on their run-in.
Okay.
So you would put them as a team going in, say, for the one last game, heading on in. But in saying that, when it did get to the grand final, so they would have their pairing, like you had Klein and Badger the other day. Okay, so that team disappeared. They're gone. They didn't make it through the next round. You keep them together, and then as you go into the grand final, that's when your two best referees would then be whacked in. And I used to run them at 50-50, not this 80-20 rubbish
right
that they've got doing now. But tonight, what we're seeing, if I had to get inside their head, and I'm talking about Archer and Smith, I would say that this is their grand final team tonight, and they're getting them ready. So barring there are no dramas, this is the team with the touchies and everything that'll go through.
Okay, fine. Matt Checkin is the gives away 14 or awards 14 and a half penalties a game. He's the main ref tonight, and that is the second most of any of the refs.
I was going to say, Dan, talking to Paul Green before the game last week against Cronulla, he was really confident. And obviously we know how that game panned out. North Queensland lived to fight another day. This week, I think he's more confident than he was last week.
Really?
And I think that's because they think they match up really well on Parramatta. And I think they believe the scoreline flattered Parramatta in Melbourne last week, because I think they scored at least one try when Cameron Munster was in the sin bin. So I actually think the Cowboys go into this game more confident than they were last week.
Mate, one thing I'd like to see the Cowboys, I know they tell Malala where he carries the ball, mate, he carries it strong through the middle, but 10-15 out, mate, there was blokes that used to play like Gordon Tallis back in the day. You know, when he was 10-15 metres out, he wanted that ball, he wanted to score that try. I know they get on the back of him, but I'd love to see, tell Malala, I think he did it last week, he took 4 or 5 over with him.
Yeah, I bring up a stat here?
Yeah.
I don't want to kill everyone with stats, but we do those for Makita. Tal Malolo, leading metre gainer in the NRL by miles. And he's played 23 games this year. If you rank him from first to last in terms of metres gained, number 22 is against Parramatta in Darwin, 128 metres. Number 23 is against Parramatta in Townsville, 120 metres. So his two worst games in terms of metres were against the Eels. So they're doing something. Maybe they were 2 off days, but they've done something. They've worked out so a way to at least contain him.
You reckon the markers are rushing out? What do you think, Gertz?
I think it's line speed. I think because they've got a smaller pack, and I think it's just the way that Brad Arthur, and he did it when he was sort of at Manly over there, they had a smaller pack. He just builds a lot of line speed, especially into their defensive pressure, and especially after kick chases, you'll see Parramatta, they jam up, and then their line speed, because, you know, the smaller, faster guys are in there, Nathan Brown sort of leading the charge, and Maroa and Ma'u, these guys, you know, they're really athletic. So he gets them off the line really quickly, and I think they get at and concern Tom Malolo, and he just hasn't got enough space to get into his rhythm and to get the momentum going through the line. He said it in the pregame, Paul Green. He said, you know, Parramatta really try and upset your tempo and your rhythm. That's what they do. They really try and, you know, play to their own speed and unsettle the opposition. And obviously that means guys like, you know, Tom Malolo and the creative players are always sort of on the back foot or could never find their own rhythm in the game. And it's something that Parramatta are really good at.
Yeah, well, a big challenge to try and contain him a third consecutive time. The cheers are for the Eels, who are just entering the arena now at the northern end. Jesus, a lot of flags out here tonight. A lot of blue and gold, obviously. Good vibe so far. We're just within half an hour of kickoff as we do prime time for Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today. You can tweet us. Plenty of support for you, Billy, after your big rant earlier. 4 and 20. Bring us those tweets. And, of course, as always, we do Triple M footy for Brighton's lawyers. Now, if you've been in a motor vehicle accident and you don't know your rights, just ask the question at special website askbrightons.com.au. Now, a reminder for our Sydney audience, if you listen to Triple M through DAB+, it's just going to flick over to the GWS Giants game shortly. If you want to keep listening to the league, you go back to the traditional 104.9. We're on regular 104.9 Triple M Sydney with the league, and everyone else who's listening, you don't need to worry about that because we will have the league from start to finish. Let's take a break. We'll come back here and we'll concentrate on the Eels. In fact, we'll hear from Brad Arthur as we get you ready. The Eels and the Cowboys live from ANZ.
Finals footy on Triple M NRL. Only for our mate Brighton's lawyers.
Triple M NRL Primetime, thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
Triple M NRL's great finals moments.
It's a finals moment that needs no introduction. Jarryd Hayne against the Dragons in 2009.
Jarryd Hayne stops, he stammers, he hesitates, three strides, one blade across. He's still going, Jarryd Hayne, he's going to score! He has scored! One of the season's best! Simply dancing! Dancing his way through the opposition!
The dancing try, the signature moment of Jarryd Hayne's electric 2009 season.
Yes, there were chip and chase try. There was a game against Benji where they both starred. What a run that was. But that was then. This is now. Brent Reed has got the coach of the Parramatta Eels, Brad Arthur.
Thanks, boys. Well, Brad, obviously tough game last week. Really good effort down there and went really close to winning. How's the reaction been from the guys this week to that result?
Yeah, it's been very positive. You know, we moved on from it real quick. We showed that in patches we were really good in that game. Discipline really hurt us, and it's probably a couple of penalties straight after half time. We invited them back into the game in field position. So, you know, we've had a look at that, and we need to be better than that tonight because the Cowboys play real disciplined style of footy, and you know they like to camp down on your try line.
What have you sort of looked at with them? They've obviously been a gritty side, particularly the last second half of the season. What have you focused on with respect to them?
Well, you know, like I just mentioned, their discipline is really important to them, and they like to dictate terms in terms of where they play their footy. So field position and possession is going to be really important. You know, I think they topped the NRL this year in possession. So we just need to make sure we've got at least 50-50 with them, and our trial line defence and our trial line resolve, and, you know, scrambling on that last tackle. They score a lot of tries in the last tackle as well. So, you know, got a few things there we need to keep our eye on.
This, when we talk about the Cowboys, particularly since Thurston Scott went down, there's two blokes you tend to be focused on, and that's Michael Morgan and Jason Tomalalau. How much work do you put into those two blokes this week, and how important is it that you control those two guys?
Oh, it's important that you can control them, but you can't go overboard as well, because two players don't get you to, you know, the second week of the final. So obviously they've got a very good team, and those blokes contribute a lot to, you know, to their structures of how they play. So as long as we know what's coming, we keep a straight line and we work together defensively, it's not a matter of stopping it. It was just a matter of trying to limit the damage they can do to us.
I've got to ask you, the hype's building. I mean, Parramatta's so close to getting back there. How are you trying to keep a lid on that? Have you embraced it? What have you done with it?
Nothing really. You know, we haven't. It's. I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's just we've been preparing as if it's another game. It's a game that we want to win. We know the stakes are high, but we haven't talked about it being a semi-final or for the fans. You know, it's about us, and we've worked hard to get here, and we've got the belief, and you know what, our want and our desire to show up tonight.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, mate.
Well done. Nice interview, and he's not kidding, Brad Arthur, about discipline with the Cowboys. They have lost 4 penalty counts all season. Now, that sounds great. It gets even better. They've lost one of their last 15. Parramatta, on the other hand, last 3 games have been out-penalised 28-12. 9-5 last week, 9-5 the week before, 10-2 against the Broncos in a game they scored 50. So I think we have a fair idea, Gertz, who's going to win the penalty count tonight, regardless of the result.
Yeah, well, it's not in Parramatta's best interest to be nice to the referees and the opposition. That's not the way that they play, Dan. They play right on the edge. He's got players there that he pushes to the limits, and he openly admits that, Brad Arthur. So, yeah, discipline's not a big key to their game. I think it's more about, you know, discipline through their actions, whether it be getting too emotional a little bit like they did last week, getting caught up with Melbourne, and then obviously discipline with the football and playing, you know, discipline for 80 minutes. But in relation to, you know, being on the right side of the referees, I don't think that's a big concern for them.
I saw a great interview actually he did with NRL 360 where he talked to exactly what you're saying, that he encourages his players to push the envelope. And if it means giving away penalties, well, so be it. But he likes having the element of crazy in the team. The Kenny Edwards, the Bo Scotts of this world, the Nathan Browns. You know, those maybe, you could harshly say, have a screw loose, but that's the thing that makes the Eels what they are.
Well, it does. And, mate, all coaches, and you think all championship sides, have one or two of those players, but Parramatta have got more than most. And I think the big thing is Kenny Edwards was probably the bloke who had to come back the most. Nathan Brown's been very well balanced. Bo Scott, he's crazy as you know. But Kenny Edwards, he's understanding now what it means to get that balance right.
All right, so that's the word from Brad Arthur, and Reedy on the sideline for Ream Hot Water Heaters, although he's back here now. By the way, Billy's comments, these very fired up comments, are thanks to Pepper Money. If your home loan application has been turned down, it could be time for a handover to Pepper Money. I think Billy gives such great service to the Ref's Expert sponsor. He should be doing voiceover ads for them. Come on, Pepper Money. Billy, there's no finer voice to voice your ad than the great Bill Harrigan. And someone, Bill, just sent me a tweet. In fact, no, it wasn't just. It was a while ago. With a question, and it's a very good point. If Michael Jordan is considered the GOAT, greatest of all time,
yeah,
should Bill Harrigan, as greatest referee of all time, be considered the GROAT?
Greatest ref of all time. Yeah, no.
Billy GROAT Harrigan.
You like that, Billy?
You comfortable with that?
I think he's been called Deep GROAT before.
Greg, see, the Hollywood thing's never really sat well with me, because Greg Hartley is Hollywood.
He's the original
Hollywood. He is the original Hollywood, so that's never really sat. So if they want to call me the GROAT.
Greatest ref of all
time.
You
are great. It's not very endearing, is it? Yeah, no. But I understand it. Yeah, that's all right.
All right. Well, that's it.
Very modest.
But if I had turned around and said, Freddie, you know, when you go, no, I'm not copping that, you wear it.
Would you
get it. So, you know, that's okay.
Would you say that you're the best ref of all time? Like,
Yeah.
I love honesty. Honestly.
Need you ask.
All right, one more outbreak and we're going to come back. Bold predictions, and we'll continue to preview this game. 7:44, I'm told, is kickoff time, and not a minute later. The cheerleaders are on the ground right now. We've got Parramatta warming up at the northern end. The Cowboys in their predominantly grey uniforms at the southern end. It's live knockout football. The Eels, the Cowboys, it's right here on Triple M Footy.
Triple M NRL Primetime, thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
Want to get the steam coming out of the bull's nostrils? Try telling me this.
Win, lose or draw, it doesn't matter.
Just lace them up and whack on a jersey.
It's about participation.
The result, who cares? Well, let me tell you, in my house, there's no ribbons for second best.
The legendary NFL coach Vince Lombardi said it best. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing.
And some are extra special. There's the ones that really matter. When it's sudden death, do or die, or when you're sipping a cold beer at the last chance saloon.
It wasn't always the brilliant gameplay, the bounce of the ball, a ref's decision. The difference usually came down to a simple choice, and the most basic human instinct of all, fight or flight.
When you run out there and the ball is kicked off, the choice is yours. Do I bite down on the mouth guard and rip in, or do you run for cover?
Two of the finals. Now we're getting properly serious.
I love that from here on in, it's black and white. There's no grey area. Win, you stay in the ring and punch on. Lose, you got a date with Mad Monday. There's no hiding a poor performance behind the promise of a second chance. There's no tomorrow.
There's no next week.
There's no next month. It's ruthless. It's brutal. Get the win or get out of the way. You're kidding. The greats run from no one.
As the great Australian philosopher Jimmy Barnes once said,
there ain't no second prize. For Brighton's lawyers, it's sudden death semi-final football. Live from ANZ Stadium, the Eels versus the Cowboys. As Triple M rocks the footy.
From level two of ANZ Stadium on a clear but chilly night, we are moments away from Parramatta versus North Queensland. Wonderful stories, the pair of them. The Eels, 12 months ago, were in the abyss. And the Cowboys, what resilience to get here to within two games of an unlikely grand final berth. The crowd still pouring in here, probably about 30,000, as these teams go through their paces. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Bill Harrigan. On the sideline is Brent Reed. And we do that for Ream Hot Water Heaters. We'll catch up with Reedy in a few moments' time. We've got bold predictions coming up as well. Ryan Girdler, who do the Roosters not want to play?
Oh, without doubt, the Parramatta Eels, I would imagine, Dan. I mean, look, they'll, they'd like to get the... If the Cowboys get up to win tonight, I mean, they've won two out of their last seven games. So, you know, even though they've sort of found their way into this round of the finals, second round of the finals, doesn't mean that they're in great form, and you know they've had to get up week after week after week after week, and four of those losses, Dan, were on the bell, and they put a lot into those performances. So given that how much last week would have taken out of them, and how much if they go on to win tonight, I'm expecting we'll take out of them as well. Probably the Roosters would be thinking they'll be right for the picking.
Wendell, you agree?
Yeah, no, I'm with Gerds. I mean, look, we've seen what they've done, the Cowboys. You know, we've said it before. You know, people are expecting them not to go any further, but there's a belief there. You love being the underdog. But even for me tonight, I want to see guys like Asiata create that second phase play. And then when Sammy Rabada comes in, he's a bit like Tamalolo. He's such a beast. He's so strong, great agility. They've got to stop Sammy early. I think he scored 23 tries in 26 games here. That's a phenomenal stat.
I also think, not only that, I also think Parramatta sent a real message last week with that performance against the Melbourne Storm that, you know, they're playing with confidence. They believe that they can go on all the way. That was a sign of a real contender. And I think the Roosters, I think a lot of teams, not just Melbourne, would have walked away from last week thinking, well, maybe this isn't as cut and dry as everyone's predicting. The Parramatta Eels definitely believe that they can win the premiership, and confidence and momentum, they're big things, Dan. And if they've gone against Melbourne, they've had that result, and then they come out here and they play well tonight against the Cowboys, gee, they'll be full of confidence next weekend.
But expectation's a big thing, girls. You know it too. Mate, sometimes these Eels fans, they're a bit nervous, but they expect their team to win. They're thinking, you know, we went down to Melbourne last week. We've got a tough couple of calls. Tonight is our night. Cowboys ready to be beaten. That can be a dangerous commodity.
The telling factor for me with Parramatta will be, did they get over last week when they've gone down there, gone so close, and then that let down from thinking, we had that, we were there, we won that, we could have been having the weekend off. We just missed out, and it flattens you. So you've got to bring yourself back up. So what happens during the week will be the big telling factor on Parramatta. Did they get over that? And are they ready to go fresh again?
For about 20 years, the format in week two has been the same. It's always a week one loser against a week one winner. And for a long period, straight sets was the most common way for a team to exit. It'd actually be, going by history, you'd say Parramatta were more likely to go than the Cowboys because there'd been so many Cinderella runs. But in recent years, very few times has the team that won in week one also won in week two. In fact, in 2015 and last year, the two teams that lost in the first week ended up winning. And obviously last night we had Brisbane, a first week loser, going on to win as well. So the trend now, Gerd, seems to be you have to finish top four. Yep. Because it is so hard to keep winning week after week after week in the finals.
Yeah, because your season's on the line every week for these guys, and that takes it out of you. So, you know, Parramatta, even though it was a big effort to go down there, like Bill said,
and play the Melbourne Storm in Melbourne, they knew that they had another bite of the cherry. So that, you know, that affects your preparation. That affects your anxiety through the week. You're not as nervous. You're not as tentative when you're out there. And all those things add up. They were able to relax last week. As Brad Arthur said, they had a free, throw-in stumps. That's easy for you to say. But anyway, look, tonight, obviously, there's a lot more on the line for Parramatta. But last week, well, you know, they would have loved a week, but they probably didn't expect one, or none of us did. And now they're coming back, and the Cowboys, they had to win last week. They did, but they had to.
Just quickly updating scores from around the place. Down the road, it's GWS Giants 7, West Coast Eagles 0. That's early in the first quarter there. And in the rugby championships, the All Blacks have beaten South Africa 57-0. So there we go. That makes our results not seem so bad against New Zealand as well.
Looking forward to the World Cup.
So 57-0. As the and Australia playing Argentina tonight, we'll have scores through the night. The fireworks go off, so it's a lovely haze. We had a haze last night at the start of the game, but pretty windy here tonight, so we should see this smoke clear pretty quickly. Let's do the Jack. Oh, Jonathan Thurston, I'm told, is with you, Brent Reed.
Yeah, JT, obviously a big occasion. The team's lifted every week this year. What are your expectations tonight?
Yeah, obviously, no one's really given us a chance again, a bit like last week. So we've been in our own bubble up there and prepared really well during the week, and the boys are excited.
What's this been like for you watching this ride? You must be so proud of the way they're playing.
Yeah, extremely proud. You know, I'd love to be out there, but I'm playing a different role with the team now, and I'm enjoying that. I couldn't be proud of their effort, their mental capacity to stay in games and certainly close out games. So, I'm enjoying watching the boys grow, the way that they're playing. It gives me great pleasure.
What have they got to do well tonight?
I think ball control. We need to match it with them early. I think if we can stay with them in that first 10 to 15 minutes and try and put a bit of pressure on them, they got some errors in them, so hopefully we can cause a few.
Thanks, JT.
Thanks, mate.
Good get, Reedy. Well done there. Yeah. One of the greats just walking up the tunnel. Wouldn't it be interesting if they, let's say, won tonight, and then just to throw everyone off, he does a training session on Monday.
that's rugby league for you. But look at this tonight, Dave. Look at it's building. This is a finals atmosphere. Last night in Brisbane, I love my Queensland. I love the Broncos. But tonight, there's an expectation here. There's something special brewing tonight for the Parramatta Eels.
There is something about the Blue and Gold Army coming out. They've had so long to wait for a night like this. Something like 2,900 days since they've had a home final. The last time Parramatta won a final was at this venue against Canterbury. 22-12 in the prelim final of 2009. So it has been a long time between drinks. Let's do the Jack Links Beef Jerky Bowl predictions. Ryan Girdler, you can start us off.
I'm gonna say that the things are going to click for the Eels tonight, and they'll win by 18.
All right, that is a bold prediction. Wendell Saylor.
Jake Granville to score a try, to have a try assist.
That's nice and big. Billy Groat Harrigan.
Minimum of 4 penalties for offside in the 10 metres, and Cowboys win.
Okay, I like that. I like when Billy, as the Groat, comes up with a referee. Don't roll your eyes up at him, Gerds.
4 offside penalties.
Well, we never saw one last week, and I think that Chechen will go out there tonight, and Benny Cummins doesn't muck around. He just goes black and white back.
Who's the lead tonight, Billy?
Chech.
Brent Reed, sideline, room hot water heaters, a Jack Links Beef Jerky Bowl prediction.
I'm going to go Michael Morgan to kick the field goal again to win it for them for the second week in a row.
Okay, that is very bold indeed. That's very specific. And lock me in for this game will be within one score with 15 minutes to go, and then Parramatta to go on with it. So there we go. There are our wide array there. Jack Links Beef Jerky Bowl predictions. Feed your wild side. Find it in the snack aisle today. So these teams are very close to coming out because we've got the cheerleaders forming a guard of honour. So that means that the players can't be too far away. We're watching Vision via Channel 9 of Paul Green. One last speech. There's a bit of Al Pacino about him, the way he's just he's got them all around in a circle and they're listening intently and he's pointing fingers and just laying down the law one last time. So we're not too far away.
Some of these players, Dan, mate, they'll be going back. When you feel confident in a venue, you know, a couple of years ago when they won that grand final, you just never know what you can find from deep inside.
It's a very good point you make. I believe, let me just confirm this, this is their first time here since.
Is that Cristiano Ronaldo?
Oh, no.
See the guy in the front here?
Yeah, he's a great looking guy.
Where are you looking good?
Just
go walking down here.
What, with the jacket?
Yeah, with the jacket on. It's a muscly Cristiano Ronaldo.
All right. There you go. Well, wouldn't that be a story? Cristiano Ronaldo flew in.
Well, he might have been over to watch the Socceroos or
the Matildas.
Yeah.
And he's popped over to watch the NRL. Probably wouldn't be sitting in the members there.
Well, these are the centre line seats. You'd imagine ANZ Stadium would look after him.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Look at him. He's on the halfway line, basically just above the tunnel. It's the best seats in the house.
Well, yeah, mate, cool.
Only the best from Darryl Carey, the CEO of ANZ Stadium.
So, now, what about you with your jumper loots today?
Oh, yeah. Hey, all sorted.
Wendell, has anyone ever resisted having to buy their own car so much as you? I mean, I know you've had freebies for 20 years, but really, you're just not used to this world of having to pay for your own stuff.
I'm about to buy a car next week, mate.
With your own money?
Yeah, or Tara's money.
Is that her management fee?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so 7:44 is the scheduled kickoff time. And this crowd really being built up here. And as I said earlier, there's so many blue and gold flags. The end's not quite filled, but a nice sprinkling of fans. The sides are pretty full. And it looks like, hard to judge, but we're into the 30s. So it's not a bad attendance at all. And next week, we might see another blue and gold army at Allianz when the Roosters take on the winner.
Oh, wouldn't there be a crowd there? You'd have to think that a grand final qualifier at Allianz would have to be a packed house between two Sydney clubs, Dan.
You'd want to hope so. I think the Sydney crowd thing is overblown a lot, Gerds. We saw vision of Wendell's wonderful four-try effort. Mate, there was no one there watching the game, Brisbane and the Drake. So it's not as if all of a sudden the crowds in Sydney have died down. But you are 100% right, Gerds. 100% right. If we would have to get a big attendance next week. But anyway, that's next week. This is now, and the Cowboys making their way down this tunnel, and they will emerge in moments. Their fourth trip to Sydney in the last 6 weeks. They are led out by Gavin Cooper, Wendell Saylor, the North Queensland Cowboys.
Yeah, at the back we have Lachlan Coote, on the wings Cole Belt and Antonio Winterstein. In the centres, Justin O'Neill, Kane Linnett. In the halves, Martin Morgan, Sean Bensom, Jake Granville, Scott Bolton, Gavin Cooper, the captain, Ethan Lowe, and Jason the Beast, Tel Malolo. On the bench, John Asiata, Ben Hampton, Cohen Hess, and Corey Jensen.
That's the North Queensland side. They've played Parramatta once in a final, and they thumped the Eels 29-0 on that occasion. That was the biggest day in Cowboys history, but a lot has happened since. Ryan Gerber, the Parramatta Eels.
Yeah, Will Smith at the back, Radradra and Ava'a on the wings, Jennings and Takarangi in the centres, Norman and Moses, the halves, Alvaro and Manor up front with Cameron King, Ma'u, Edwards and Brown in the back row, Bo Scott, Matangi, Pritchard and Terapo on the bench.
So, the captains, Tim Manor, Gavin Cooper, pose for a photo with a little boy and Matt Checkin as well. And we are just about ready. One more time. Ryan Gerber, a tip.
The Parramatta Eels by 18.
Wendell Saylor.
The Eels by 8.
Billy.
Cowboys.
And Brent Reed.
Cowboys by 1.
Split down the middle. Okay. So it'll be the Cowboys to kick us off here. And the North Queensland team without Jonathan Thurston this year, a very respectable 9 wins, 9 losses, but against top 8 teams, 2-8. But I'll have their work cut out for them here. But they love this ground. They've won their last 5 dating back to 2014. And of course, the signature, the game here against the Broncos nearly 2 years ago. And the ball is on the tee. It'll be Parramatta to receive, and they'll be running to the northern end, and we are underway.
Triple M rocks the NRL. Tech Drive Employers, protecting your future.